This is Jeremiah, and I'm sitting here with Lanny. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. How's Comic-Con going so far this weekend?
It's been amazing. This weekend has been awesome. Portland's such a great city, and I'm super excited. We have a tradition when we do Wizard Worlds to go do escape games. And so we have a pretty awesome one we're going to tonight. I'm excited. We're doing the really difficult rooms, so hopefully we'll, like, make it out. Otherwise, we might not be here tomorrow if we can't get out of the room.
Will you be asking for any hints?
You know, I like to get hints, but this guy over here, John Heater, does not like it when I get hints. And if they make it one of those, like, everyone has to be okay with getting a hint, then I don't get a hint because John won't let me have one. But if one person can ask for a hint and get it, then I'm totally getting a hint.
And then you guys are doing Disney trivia. How did that start out?
So we normally do, like, these just, like, regular panels, a lot of Comic-Cons. And, you know, we had done a few. And you know, it's obviously, it's great, you know, to do the panels. But, you know, after a while, you know, some people have heard the stories and all that. And so someone came up with the idea, like, because Tom played Walt Disney and John played Roy Disney, and we do a lot of these together, that it would be fun if we just did a trivia panel and started asking people questions. And we have so much fun, and I think the audience loves it too. And, you know, and so we just started doing those, and it's been really great. It's becoming harder and harder for me to find questions, though, because I've used up a lot of the good ones. So I spend a lot of time Googling. And you know what? There's a lot of links out there that say, hardest Disney trivia questions ever. And they lie because they're not that hard.
You ever get questions from the fans that stump you guys?
I haven't yet. But, you know, if anybody wants to send me any good ones for my next panel, I have a month till Philadelphia. I could use some more questions. So, you know, tweet me or Instagram me or Facebook me and send me those.
And you're more than just a moderator. You've actually kind of been in the business since you were, what, a kid?
Yeah. I started stage acting when I was, like, three. I did my first play when I was, like, three and kind of grew up and, you know, did some movies and television and also, you know, bit parts and things like that. And then I write scripts and manage some bands, and now I wrote a script that I had a small book publisher tell me to make into a book, and at the same time Tom read it and was like, hey, this could be great, let's make it into a movie, and the script, obviously, and so it just kind of all started to fall together, so now we're working on this movie project.
Is this your first book?
It is my first book. It wasn't my first script. I started writing scripts when I was a teenager. Actually, I started writing scripts because I was sort of disappointed in a lot of the female roles that there were out there for women, and, you know, wanted to play some cool female parts myself, and was like, I'll just write some. Nobody else is doing it. So, but I had never written a book before, and like I said, it wasn't even really my idea. I had a small book publisher read the script and was like, this could be the next Twilight or, you know, Hunger Games. This is amazing. This, you know, this has got to be a book. This has got to be a series. And originally I had only sort of written, like, just, you know, what is now the first book as a story. And so I could definitely take this in a lot more cooler places. And so obviously it changed partially the dynamic of some parts of the story, but I kept a lot of the first part of the story very much intact because it would have been a great story on its own, but there's so many fun ways you can go that I'm excited to take it there. So
with the series, will it follow a certain character, or will it be like different characters in each book?
Well, the main character is Zaid, who is the girl on the cover of the book, but definitely in future books, some of the characters that you maybe only see or meet a little bit in this book get to be featured more. They definitely have stronger parts to play, no pun intended, in the next books. And then obviously Zaid, there's a love triangle between her and a character named Mac and a character named Jax, and they are very important. There's the magician Charles, who she goes to work for in Vegas, and her mom, who's also a tarot card reader and can do magic. And so everybody has a lot of fun, you know, ways that the story will take them, and you're going to get to know some of the other smaller characters in the next books for sure, and find out some things that maybe you don't expect to know about those characters. So
being that you do have done some acting, will you be acting in this movie that's being made about it?
I may play a part. We're actually in the process of casting it currently, so not all the decisions haven't been made yet, but I believe I'll be in there somewhere.
Are you going to be like a producer of it as well?
I am. I am one of the producers. Tom is, you know, the lead producer, and I'm one of the producers, and then there's a couple of other people as well. So, but it's definitely like Tom and I, it's our joint project. I mean, I wrote it, but he spent 4 years working on it, and, you know, he gave me notes from the first script, and a lot of those notes I loved and ended up changing the script to adapt those, which ended up in the final script and in the final book. So his ideas are in there somewhere.
So you've done some acting, you've written a book, and you've worked with bands. Which one's the hardest?
You know, it's a good question, actually. No one's ever asked me that. They're hard for different reasons. You know, managing bands is, you know, and I've been a tour manager and a band manager, and even those have different challenges. A lot of people don't know the difference. So for those of you that don't, a tour manager kind of manages, like, the stuff that happens on the road. So, you know, like getting the band to the hotel and getting them on stage. And a band manager makes those bigger decisions, like we're going to make an album, or decides, like, you know, where they're going to go on tour, and decides with the band, like, what they should... we should make a music video for this, or this should be the next single there. They kind of do the, I hate to say bigger picture, but that's kind of the idea, you know? Just like on a movie, there's a director and a producer. So they're both important. They both have different roles. So same thing with band managers and tour managers. And it's so challenging. I think band managers and get, you know, they definitely get a lot of grief. That I, you know, there's a lot of really great band managers out there, and you would have not heard of your favorite bands if it hadn't been for the work of those people. And they don't get, you know, they never really get any credit for the work that they do. And a lot of times, if something goes wrong, it's their fault. But, you know, if things go right, then it's because the band's great. So as someone who is no longer managing bands, I give all props out to band managers out there everywhere who work hard for their artists and probably don't get nearly enough credit. So...
Have you ever thought about writing a book about your tales on the road?
I have. I mean, I did. One of the characters in the book, Jackson, he is the band leader for the Magic Show. And I also used to work in David Copperfield's theater, so I pulled some, you know, stuff from that part of my life as well. But so I did write a musician and a band into the book, and I did pull, obviously, from my own experience. And I think more of my experience will come into play, and you know, a little bit in the following books, but the focus of this one isn't bands. But yeah, I definitely could see myself doing something that's more band focused later. Right now I'm still so excited about, you know, writing the rest of the scripts and the books for this series that, you know, I definitely like obsess over, you know, one thing at a time. But yeah, I could definitely see it in the future. I actually wrote a script once that was very much about a rock star. You know, maybe I'll even go back to that. I'd have to change some things because it was from a few years ago and the world has changed, and that story actually wouldn't make as much sense now, unfortunately, but I could still do something with it.
What kind of bands did you work with?
Oh gosh, I worked with everybody from the Plain White Tees to Blues Traveler to Gnarls Barkley to Ryan Adams, Gwen Stefani. I mean, I managed Blues Traveler and the Plain White Tees, and this band called 100 Monkeys that had Jackson Rathbone, who was in all the Twilight movies in it, and a few others. Those are the ones I was a band manager for. But then, I mean, you name it, I probably worked with them at some point.
Did you like doing the festivals, or did you like doing like more smaller venues?
You know, festivals are really fun because you get to see other, you know, like your other friends, you know. The entertainment business as a whole is really small, but especially in the touring world. So festivals always were an opportunity to see some of your friends, maybe, you know, hang out with them or catch another band show or whatever. Small clubs can be fun too for other reasons, but yeah, festivals, I always had a good time at festivals, and any place that has cotton candy is always pretty great.
Is that why you like doing conventions like this? Because it's almost like the same kind of feel. You get to see all your friends. And
oh, it, totally. Like, a lot of the celebrity guests, you know, we do a lot of the same cons. We've done some with Sebastian Stan and Jason Momoa, obviously John Heder, Holly Marie Combs. And we all get to become friends. And it's like a family. So it's like, You know, I actually get sad when I'm at home and it's not a Comic-Con weekend because I don't get to see my family. So, you know, and then you come here and it's, I mean, it's such an, like, all the crowd's really excited and it's very infectious to us and we feel the excitement, we're excited, and it's, you know, it's just such great energy to be around. Like, I have, like, and I find that the Comic-Con world, especially people that come to these, they're just so wonderful and accepting of whoever you are, however you are. There's no judgments, you know, wear a crazy costume, wear normal clothes, have your hair whatever color, do, you know, like, just be yourself. It's an opportunity to be yourself, whatever that is, and nobody judges. And there's something very freeing about being around people that are like that, and that's what you get here. So I wish the whole world was at one big Comic-Con, frankly.
It definitely is a judge-free zone here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where else can you go? And, you know, you'll see, like I said, you'll see a guy, like, wearing, like, full-on, like, Star Wars, like, you know, outfit next to, like, someone, like, jeans and a t-shirt, and they'll be chatting, and it's just normal, and, like, no, there's no judgments. Or, like I said, you might have every color of the rainbow in your hair, and you know, people are like, that's really cool, and, you know, it's just, again, there's very few places. I like Renaissance fairs, and Renaissance fairs are a little like that, too, but, you know, costumes get crazier here, and, you know, I think it's even, you know, it's even more, more intense almost, but in a good way. Like I said, like, nobody judges about anything, you know. You never hear someone go, well, that person's weird, like, because we're all weird, and that's kind of the point, right? We're all weird.
Oh yeah. So you're kind of here to help promote your book.
Yeah.
23 hours is a bestseller. How do you make it 23 hours and then not make it past that?
Well, so a lot of people don't know this, but the list is actually weekly. And there's been only one person that's ever been number one in the New York Times bestseller list for 23 hours, because there's only one person that's ever been kicked off that list, and that would be me. So it happened for a few different reasons. One is the book world, I think, has very much a, like, you know, you gotta, you know, we've got these weird little, like, ways that we all do things, and if you try to kind of be a little different, they don't sometimes take to it very well. We started pre-selling the books at the Comic-Cons and promoting them, and I never promoted it to the YA young adult, for people who don't know what that means, YA community, because technically Zayd is not, or Handbook for Mortals is not a YA book, because the main protagonist, which is Zayd, she's in her 20s and not between the ages of 13 to 18. Now, I think the general public would think, though, that the book still sort of fits in that YA category because how it feels. But the book world will tell you technically it's not a YA book. It's a new adult book. But when the New York Times put me on the list, they actually put me on the YA list. And so the YA community had never heard of my book. We had been marketing and pre-selling at Comic-Cons. And the only way to make your sales count if you don't, if they aren't sold in a bookstore, like if you sell them at a Comic-Con, is to push those sales through a bookstore, which everybody does, and we did, but, you know, we kind of weren't, like I said, like, we just, people didn't know, I sort of came out of nowhere in their mind, because I hadn't promoted it to them, and they didn't know about it, and yet I had these sales coming from the Comic-Cons, and so, I mean, they got on Twitter, and just kind of like, because I hadn't knocked on those doors previously, that they were like, this book doesn't exist, nobody's ever heard of her. And I was like, no, lots of people have, they just are in the Comic-Con world. And so they got actually kind of vicious on Twitter, unfortunately, and I think didn't really understand what had actually happened. And Twitter can be a really judgmental, crazy place, and I think, you know, people were taking a lot of things that weren't really true and posting it, and a lot of people were believing it. And so after 23 hours, the New York Times was like, eh, you know, this is a lot of trouble. And so they just took me off the list. I was 34 on the USA Today bestseller list, and that title remained because that's based purely off of sales, which we had. And, you know, I get to be the rebel. I mean, there's lots of people that have made it onto the list. There's only one person that's ever made it and, you know, get kicked off. And, it, you know, I feel like there's a badge of honor in there somewhere. And, you know, one day I'll be that girl. I'll be that girl that, you know, that was, it'll be cool one day, you know? And I'm fine with it. I'm fine with being the rebel.
You seem to own it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, lists are kind of dumb anyway. Like, who cares? Like, so, you know what Groucho Marx said? I never want to be part of a club that would have me as a member. So, there you go.
It's kind of like going back to music. The underground bands, when they make it, and then the guys who are on the charts all the time, how they kind of like, hey, whoa, I don't know who you are. Why are you on our list?
Yeah.
Same kind of category.
Yeah, exactly. Like, people get very, like, very territorial. Actually, there was someone in the book world that was quoted as saying, because I said that I thought that the book world was very closed off and not very welcoming of new voices. And I was making a very generalized statement, not directed towards anyone in particular. And someone said, we're a very close-knit community that's very welcoming. And I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way. You're either close-knit or you're very welcoming. That's it. That's one or the other. So either the door is open or it's closed. It's not. Oh, it's propped. And if you can figure out the escape game rules, you can get in.
No hints there. Before we get going, do you want to do one last plug on the book?
Sure. So if you like fantasy and stories about magic, it's set in modern day, so I think it's a little relatable. But if you like stories like Harry Potter, The Vampire Diaries, or Twilight, this might be up your alley. You know, if you don't like any of those, you might still like it, so still check it out. But it's about a young woman that moves to Las Vegas to work for a magic show, but she can do real magic. Like I said, it was 34 on the USA Today bestseller list, and you can go to handbookseries.com and check out our website. We have also a Facebook page, which is Facebook/handbookseries. Our Instagram is Handbook for Mortals. Our Twitter is Handbook Series. Our Facebook is Handbook for Mortals. So you can follow along and you know, get updates about the next book and the movie and all that, or hit us up. Send me some Disney trivia questions. I'm on Instagram. I'm LANIERS, or Twitter, Rock AN Roll Gypsy. And my Facebook is Facebook/Lainey Sarum. So if you want to tell me about the book, you want to ask me a question, or you got some Disney trivia for me, hit me up.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.